Sometimes people use the adjective every when they mean many or not actually each one. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, uses this expression, every eye will see him, and in this use, I believe it to mean each and every person. Brother David Johnson will explain these words today in his sermon on Words of Life. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus the Christ. We now present worship of our Lord in song. Please pray with me. Holy Father, you have granted us the great privilege of being able to talk to you in prayer. Thank you for this great blessing. Lord, you give us the interests and abilities to work for you and for our own support as well. Thank you for this. Please bless each of our listeners and meet their needs, especially their spiritual lives. We know that many of your faithful face persecution inspired by Satan. Please protect each one of them to serve you. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using Revelation 1, 7 and 8, Brother David Johnson will now present Every Eye Will See Him.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God, which is the will of God. The title for the lesson is Every Eye Will See Him. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Please listen to the Word of God. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Astrobiology is the search for and study of life in the universe. It combines elements of astronomy, biology, geology, and other sciences to study the origin, distribution, and development of life. This includes life on Earth and the search for life that may exist elsewhere beyond planet Earth. Is there extraterrestrial life out there? Meaning, is there life beyond our planet Earth? Astrobiologists hope to detect biological indicators in the atmospheres of distant planets using space-based telescopes. Is something or someone alive out there? According to science, to this date, there have been no known contacts with certainty of life beyond Earth. Scripture is not, of course, a science book. However, it does have some amazing revelations, which we as Bible-believing Christians believe as valid and absolutely true. For example, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says in part, "Look, He is coming with the clouds." Who is coming? Consider this similar phraseology previously revealed and recorded about 536 BC before Christ in the prophecy book of Daniel chapter 7 verse 13, which says in part, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven." In this context, these are not ordinary clouds, but instead clouds of glory. Who is this person described as like a son of man? We don't have to guess. Consider in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64, which says in part, Jesus replied, "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Obviously, this unique Son of Man, who alone can sit at the right hand of God, the Mighty One, is the unique Son of God, even Messiah or Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 continues, "And every eye will see Him." So Jesus Christ is coming from beyond earth back to earth in His living, glorified body, who will be fully visible to all, miraculously, supernaturally. This is collaborated by Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, which says, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 continues, "Even those who pierced Him," that is, will also see Him, This is not a reference to the Romans, who crucified and pierced his side. This refers instead to the majority of Jews ultimately responsible for his execution, as Jesus of Nazareth was pierced on a tree. This is corroborated by, in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, that says in part, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced." The house of David and inhabitants of Jerusalem are, of course, Jews. They are actually responsible for Christ's death on a Roman cross, because as it says in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 11, his own did not receive him. Also, Peter stated in Acts chapter 2 and verses 22 through 23 in part, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you. This man was handed over to you, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 ends with, "And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." The peoples of the earth will mourn because they will finally see by sight Jesus Christ bodily, and therefore mourn, grieve over their guilty unbelief and unrepentant sin, and their apparent awareness of their coming judgment and punishment as unrepentant unbelievers. Consider their coming fearsome cry, as recorded by the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. "They called to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" All of these truths are doubly affirmed. "So shall it be," which means amen. So here it's amen and amen. All of this will exactly come to pass because it is written in God's book. However, unbelievers, skeptics, and even scoffers over the centuries have rejected and continue to reject the bodily return of Jesus Christ. Even those who accept some truths of the Bible continue to interpret he is coming in many different and diverse ways. Let's consider a few. For example, that Christ returned already on the first Pentecost Sunday of the church age in the person of the Holy Spirit. Yet as Christians, we believe all the Scriptures, the whole counsel of God, and Jesus Christ himself stated in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 3, where Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So Christ himself is returning bodily, not simply as a spirit. Also consider that the coming of Christ is fulfilled at the genuine conversion of converts when Christ returns to the hearts of believers. That is not the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ. As for example, consider in the New Testament book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Obviously, at our Christian conversions, we believers did not appear with him in glory. This is still yet future at his glorious bodily appearing. Also, for example, that Christ's coming was fulfilled already at his resurrection from the dead, when Christ came back to life, that was his second coming. This cannot be true because of the words of God's angels in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, which says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Therefore, after Jesus' bodily resurrection, it is still affirmed that he is coming back again bodily. Also, for example, that Christ returned already in fulfillment of his second coming in the year of our Lord 70, A.D. 70, that he returned in triumph and wrath at the destruction of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel by the Roman legions. Yet, consider Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, which says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Here we have a general statement of Christ's coming judgments here regarding believers. For example, did Christ reward each person, each believer, each member of the church for their good deeds at the judgment seat of Christ, at the horrible destruction of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel in AD 70? Obviously not. So the scoffers continue to deny Christ bodily return, he physically coming again, his second coming. Yet, again and again, we have Jesus' words themselves, from himself. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7, it says in part, "Behold, I am coming soon." Again, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, that says in part, "Behold, I am coming soon." And again in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, that says in part, "Yes, I am coming soon." These words, by the way, were revealed and recorded, according to most Bible scholars, in about the year of our Lord 95, AD 95, well after AD 70. So what about the word soon? It's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus said that he was returning soon, that he was coming back soon. The short answer is in Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 that says in part, "They will say, where is this coming he promised?" That is, the scoffing, the scoffers. "Where is this coming he promised?" 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." Meaning that God's measurement of time is radically different than man's. God, who is eternal and infinite, who pre-exists outside of time itself, considers 2,000 years as not even an instant to the eternal one. Because you see here, or hear here, dear listener, that actually a sort of extraterrestrial life contact with Jesus Christ physically, bodily, is coming. He is coming from beyond the earth, from the third heaven, in fact. And every eye of the inhabitants of the earth at that time will see him supernaturally. So shall it be. Amen and amen. Are you ready? Have you received Jesus Christ through obedient faith? Are you persevering in your faith? When you see him, if you are part of that portion of God's people, tribulation saints, and all the unbelievers and scoffers at that time, when you see him, will you mourn or will you rejoice? That will be the case according to our most important decision, which is, what am I going to do with Jesus? Receive him by faith, even saving, repentant faith, putting him on in baptism, persevering in him through faith, or reject him because of unrepentance and unbelief.
We pray that you are already a Christian. If you are not and now see the need for Jesus, you first need to truly believe that Jesus is the Savior and the Son of God. The book of Acts shows us that you need to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and then be baptized by immersion. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, request broadcast number 1935. That's 1935. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.